Okay, the title of this message is, Do You Smell Like Jesus? Do you smell like Jesus? That's a question. I struggled. There was lots of possible titles that I went through. What's that smell? Take a whiff of this. But do you know that Jesus has a smell? Interesting biblical fact, actually. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But first, let's turn to Genesis 1. Come with me to Genesis 1 and verse 26. While you're turning over there, Genesis 1, 26. You know, we've been given this ability to smell, right? Each of us. What an amazing thing it is. I don't know if it's my favorite of the senses. I think vision probably is my favorite, but smell is right up there, right? It is a very useful sense. We use this sense of smell all the time. We use it on a daily basis. I know I do. I use it to check and see if things are good or bad out of the fridge, right? Before you put it in your mouth, you give it a sniff, right? That's what I do. I don't read the dates. Or if I do, I always double check with my nose. That's what God gave it to us for. We can tell when there's something foul or something putrid or something good or bad with our nose. That's what it's for. It's also for pleasure, very pleasurable things. You can smell certain things like this time of year, fresh cut grass, and it smells amazing. I don't know about you. I have no allergies to that particular thing. And so I smell fresh cut grass and it just fills me with joy. I just feel like, oh, that's just, it feels so good to smell that. A rain moving in, you can smell the smell, something about that. You know, it's also tied to memory, right? It's the sense that's strongest tied to memory. So you can smell things. Have you ever smelled something that you haven't smelled in years and years and years? And it takes you back, straight back to this place you were, with this person you were with, or doing whatever you were doing, and you're all of a sudden back in that environment, all because you smelled a smell. I know what's happened to me. The most amazing thing I think about our sense of smell is that God created it. And He says in Genesis 1, 26, let's just read it. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven and over the cattle and over the earth and over every moving thing that moves upon the earth." So God made us with this sense of smell in His image. I find that really interesting. You know, I've heard it said that God is the real thing and we are the temporary thing, right? We think of our senses and our human flesh as being real and all the spirit world as being ethereal and something else. But really, God is the real thing. He's the original. He's what this blueprint was fashioned after. He made us in His image, in His likeness. He's the real deal. He's the one with the real nose who smells. He gave us this little temporary nose that can smell things on this earth here as a kind of a hint at what He's like. That's what I find is most interesting about it. Do you think your sense of smell is stronger or weaker than God's sense of smell? I would submit probably weaker, right? Is our arm longer or shorter than God's arm? Right? He can reach further than we can in ways that we can't even imagine. And He can smell things in ways that it's hard for us to imagine. His ways are higher than ours. He's bigger than us in every way. Yeah, I would submit that God can even smell so well that He can smell our attitudes, our actions, our habits, our secrets, our hearts. We're going to get into some of those scriptures today. Let's start turning over to Psalm 115. So our God can smell. He has a nose. That's our God. But false gods cannot. Psalm 115. Psalm 115 and verse 6. Actually, let's start a little further back. Let's start at verse 3. Psalm 115 and verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. Who wrote this? Yoda? Is that Yoda? Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. And those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Very, very interesting. So false gods, they can't do anything, right? We're told other places, you don't need to fear them. They can't do anything. They can't smell. They have noses, but they can't smell. They do not smell. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 28 says a very similar thing. You can turn there if you want. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 28. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Brethren, our God is the only God who smells, who has senses that function, and our senses were fashioned after his. Turn over with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. We're going to look at some of the bad smells, some of the things that God does not like the smell of. First, those false gods are one of them. I find it very interesting that it said the people who worship those false gods are just like them, right? Dull in their senses, can't actually see or hear or smell very well. You become like the one you serve. Isaiah 65, and start in verse 1. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in the gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. And then he says, these are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. You ever been sitting around a fire and the smoke just turns right towards you and blows right in your face? That's what this is like to God, you know? It makes you like, ugh! You can't stand it. You got to move. You got to get away. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want it in front of me. That's what that's like. It's smoke in his nostrils. Amos 5 and verse 21. Amos 5 and verse 21. I'll just read. You can turn there if you want. Amos 5, 21. I'm going to read from the CSB version, the CSB. Amos 5, 21 says, I despise your feasts. He says, I can't stand the stench of your solemn assemblies. Very interesting that God chooses to use those words and describe those things in such a way, right? As a bad smell, a foul odor. Brother, have you ever smelled something disgusting? Something that's really bad? And then you go searching for it, and then you realize, oh, it's me. I've been there. I've done that a few times. There's a saying in the South, if you smell something, that stinks. Do you smell that? Oh, that's awful. You smell that? Nobody else can smell it. Very often, what they'll say is, maybe it's your upper lip. You ever heard that one? Maybe it's your upper lip. Well, I remember there was one time I thought I had I wanted to check and see if I had bad breath. I was about to go in somewhere, talk to somebody. I wanted to check my breath. You know how to do the breath check, right? You just breathe into your hand a little, smell it. And I was doing that, and it smelled so bad. Oh, my breath is awful. It's horrible. I went and brushed my teeth and rinsed my mouth. I did it again. Oh, it's still so bad. Later, I realized I had dog poop on my hand. So, pro tip, you got to check your hands before you check your breath. My test was broken. It wasn't working. But every now and then, we have to check our breath, right? We have to check ourselves. We have to say, huh, honey, is that me? Do I smell? If you're around a strong odor, something that's really bad, if you're around it for long enough, you won't be able to smell it anymore, right? You'll be desensitized to it. It becomes normal. I used to work as a DJ. I got a job. I was singing karaoke one night at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and the host asked me if I wanted to work as a DJ. And I said, yeah. I thought about it for about 3 seconds. I said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. And so I got hired, and I would go then at night. I would take all the equipment, and I would work all night, 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. in Buffalo Wild Wings, running this karaoke show. And while I thought it was the dream job, by the way, it was amazing. $150 to sing karaoke all night. How can life get any better than that? But at the time, it was before there was a smoking ban. There was a law that said you had to have a smoking area and a non-smoking area in the restaurant. So the bar area was always the smoking area. So I would work in the bar area. That's where people want to sing, I guess. And I would stand in there for 5 or 6 hours a night. And by the time I got home, about 4 in the morning, I'd go straight to sleep. And the next morning, I'd wake up. And I remember every time I would smell, what is that? When I wake up in the morning, what is that smell? And it was my laundry basket smelled like an ashtray. It smelled not only like I had been smoking, but like I had been rolling around in an ashtray and just dumping it on myself. And what's the craziest part about that is, the night before, it didn't bother me at all. About 2 a.m., as I'm finishing up the show, I'm sure I smelled even worse. But I didn't even notice it. I had no awareness that I smelled just like that until the next morning, because I had been slowly exposed and surrounded until I was simmering in it. And I didn't know until I removed myself from that location, and then I washed myself clean, and then I went back and smelled my old garments. And that's when I can tell, oh man, those are horrible. Sometimes we can't tell how bad something is, right? Until we get away from it. Until we get away from it for a little while and then re-exposed, and then we can smell that smell. There was another time in my life, it was a pretty significant time, when I decided to move away from North Carolina. That's where I grew up, born and raised, and I went to Winter Family Weekend out in the Midwest. Well, Louisville, Winter Family Weekend in Kentucky. And I met some friends, and they said, hey, we need a roommate, and we need a roofer on this crew, and we need a singer for our band. And I thought, this is an opening from God. He clearly wants me to move to Kentucky, right? It just seemed, I thought, it's pretty obvious to me. I can do all those things, and here we go. So I moved, packed all my stuff into my car, and I moved away from my little trailer on the farm. So at the time I was renting this little trailer on the farm from my grandmother. The cheapest rent I ever had. It was already really cheap, probably $150 a month or something, and I split that with one of my buddies. Best deal ever. But we moved into this old trailer that had been abused and abused and abused for years and years by renters. And we moved into that thing, and the state that it was in when we moved in, well, let's just say it was really bad condition. And we had to clean it ourselves a little bit. So we went in there and we put this powdery fragrance on the carpet, you know, to kind of cover up the old smells that were already in there. We didn't try to remove them. You just put enough fragrance on it so that you can't smell what's already there. And that's what I had been living in for quite a few years. And so then when I moved to Louisville, I packed all my things and all my boxes in my car, moved to Louisville. I got into my new apartment and I put all my boxes in my new room and stacked them all up in the middle of my room. And I moved at the same time that there was a Winter Family Weekend happening. So as soon as I moved everything into my new room, I closed the door and I went to a nearby hotel for about 2 or 3 nights to stay for the Winter Family Weekend. Then after the weekend was over, I came back to my room. Now, this is my new apartment with my new roommates in a new place. I walked into the apartment and I thought, oh, all right, here I am. This is my new home. And then I opened my door to my new bedroom that had all my old stuff in it. And at that moment, my own smell, I got to smell for the first time in ever, it felt like, you know. And I opened that door and it hit me like a ton of bricks in my face. My whole past, everything that I came from, that old trailer with the old carpet and who knows how many years of abuse was in there, and everything else, all the books and the CDs and the cassette tapes and the clothing, and it all just smelled like old me. I remember it being a really meaningful moment for me, and I had this moment of thinking, oh, is that how I smell to everybody else? Sorry, guys, you know? I had this moment of just examining my life. I remember thinking, I need to quickly get rid of everything I possibly can get rid of before I become desensitized again. So, brethren, I want to ask you, while we're examining ourselves for Passover, are there any old smells that are following you around? What smells are you bringing with you and carrying around? You know, I didn't get rid of all that stuff. I got rid of some of it, and I slowly changed my habits and my eating habits and my hygiene habits and all those, you know, the things you do as you grow from being a young single man to a slightly older married man. And I learned things and I changed things. But there's still a little box in my closet right now. With CDs. CDs are these little round things that hold music on them. And papers and envelopes and all kinds of things. And in that little box, if you open it right now and give it a good sniff, you can probably catch a whiff of my past. Of the old me. It's a very small box, pared down from this huge room full of stuff, right? But do you smell the metaphor that I'm getting at here? What kind of odor follows us, brethren? When we move from place to place, when we come into a room, what kind of odor follows us? This is a good time of year to give ourselves the old sniff check. And what's the point of that? Why would we do that? Why would we smell ourselves to see if we smell good? And of course, I'm speaking metaphorically here. But why would we do that? It's the same reason that we would do it physically. If we smell like there's a little poo on the shoe, if you notice that you have some, what do you do about it? You don't just say, oh, well, I guess that's just how I'm going to smell. No, you look for a source of water, something clean, something to wash you off. You look for a spigot or a hose or some tall, wet grass because you want to be washed clean from that old smell, right? And that's exactly what we should be doing this time of year. We should be looking for the source of living water to wash us clean from our old smells. Let's turn to Amos 4. Amos 4 and verse 10. Amos 4 and verse 10. We read, I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses, and I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Brethren, the whole point of smelling ourselves occasionally is that we would think, oh, maybe I need to take a shower. Maybe I need to change that. Maybe I need to turn back to God, right? These smells, in God's eyes, are our actions. our habits, how we walk, how we talk, things we share. And we're going to get to that, what the good smells are. So what kind of habits do you have? What kind of habits do you bring with you? In action, in speech, in thought, what are you bringing? What smells are you bringing from your family, from your spouse, from your workplace, from your culture? And what are you bringing to your family? When you walk in your home, what kind of smell follows you? When you walk into your workplace, what kind of smell follows you? Are those things pleasant or pungent in the nostrils of those around you? And most importantly, in the nostrils of our Father in heaven. This time of year, the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt is very, very relevant. Something we usually look at, or we'll watch a movie about Egypt and the Exodus and the first Passover. The Israelites all came out. When they came out of Egypt, brethren, through the Red Sea, with all the things after they had plundered the Egyptians, do you think they had any Egyptian smells with them? I'm sure they did. They had Egyptian food, Egyptian clothing. They literally plundered the Egyptians by way of God giving them favor in their eyes, right? They had all their things. They probably had some of their ideology, right? Some of their home remedies, some of their theology even, some of their attitudes. But they had to get rid of that. Right? God didn't like that. When it came to the remedies of the Egyptians and curing sicknesses, what did God tell his people? He said, if you will listen to my words and my laws and my statutes and do what I tell you, you won't have to worry about any of these diseases. So we've talked about the bad smells, the things we can bring with us. Now let's talk about the good smells. So you can turn to Exodus 29:18 if you want to. Exodus 29:18 for one example. There's about, I don't know, a lot of examples, maybe 10 or 20 examples of sacrifices in the Old Testament being talked about as a pleasing aroma before God. Exodus 29:18 is one of them. Burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And over and over and over in Exodus and Leviticus and in Numbers, there are those animal sacrifices talked about as being pleasing aromas. But what smells even better to God than that? There is something. Let's turn to Matthew 9 and verse 10. Matthew 9 and verse 10. What was the point of all those animal sacrifices, right? God was leading his people to something. Matthew 9 and verse 10, we're talking about things that smell good to God's nose right now, okay? Matthew 9 and verse 10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have come to call the righteous, but sinners." So he says he desires mercy instead of sacrifice. And we're going to see here that mercy is one of those things that smells good to God. Turn to Hosea, I think he's quoting Hosea 6:6, but you can turn to Hosea 6:6, or I'll read it, Hosea 6 and verse 6, that same phrase, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." David said something similar in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 16, Psalm 51:16, he said, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So we see there's something that smells even better to God than those sacrifices. Let's turn now to Psalm 141. You may already be in Psalm still, Psalm 141. And verse 2. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So again, we see here something. This is being counted as sacrifice. Let it be counted as sacrifice, but it's something that smells good to God. He says, let my prayer be counted as incense before you. So prayer is one of those things that can smell good in God's nostrils. We have a confirmation of that in Revelation 5 and verse 8. All the way in the back, Revelation 5 and verse 8. He says, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Again, very interesting, right? That our Father talks about things in this way. Golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. These prayers are like incense, which makes a good smell. Let's also turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 18. Philippians 4 and verse 18. Something else that can smell good to our Father in heaven is when we give to one another, when we support one another. Philippians 4, 18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus. I definitely read that wrong. The gifts that you sent. Having received the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. We're going to go to one more right now, Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20 and verse 40. Ezekiel 20 and verse 40 and 41. In verse 40, for on my holy mountain, the mountain height of Israel, declares the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of them, shall serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and I will require your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with all your sacred offerings. As a pleasing aroma, I will accept you. When I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will manifest my holiness among you in the sight of the nations. So we see a prophetic scripture again talking about this pleasing aroma to God. And he's talking about them bringing contributions and choicest of gifts to him. So we've seen mercy, prayer, and gifts are all these things that are pleasing in God's senses. Now you can start turning to Ephesians, if you'd like to, Ephesians 5. But you know, it seems like each of our families have their own smell. You know, the other day, I was talking about this message, but I was asking my daughter, Kayla, what do I smell like? Kayla, what do I smell like? And she said, you smell like daddy. That's what she said. And then she runs over to Jamie and you smell like mommy. And it's right. We all have our smells, right? Everybody's got their smells. It's just a fact. But families tend to smell like each other. They tend to smell alike. Why? Because we live in the same house. We use the same products. We shower with the same things in the shower. So, you know, we eat some of the same foods. So that family tends to have its own smell. What family are you a part of? Which family do you smell like? What food do you eat? You know, sometimes if something is left here at services, there'll usually a little, some small children will leave some things around. And quite often, some of you have probably seen me do it. I'll grab it and pick it up and think, oh, see, whose is this? Well, let me get it. Huh, I think that's Odell's sock. I can tell what it is. Or I think that's Emily's Bible. Or whatever. I've been to these families' homes, and I've been in there, and, you know, some people have pets, and some people don't, and some people wear these types of colognes, and other ones, and sometimes you can just tell. It just is what it is. Our families have their own smells. So what smell are we leaving behind? What smell are we bringing with us? When we leave something behind, can someone pick it up and say, oh, I know who that is. I know whose that is. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 now. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Remember I told you Jesus has a smell? We're going to read about it. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's something, brethren, that is a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, is when Christ loved us and gave himself up. Talk about sacrifice. That wasn't an animal on the altar. That was Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh. And then we're told to be imitators of that, to do that same thing. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 2 to finish this thought. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But thank God, he has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. And in verse 15, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Isn't that amazing? And who is adequate for such a task? Brethren, what smells are you bringing with you? To those who are perishing, we should carry the smell of death and doom. Why? Why? Why do you think that is? You know, it may have something to do with the fact that we are sharing the gospel. Didn't we just read spreading around the knowledge of Christ? If we're doing that, if we're sharing the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of repentance, the gospel of resurrection, which is accompanied by judgment, if we're spreading that gospel like we should, when people get a whiff of us, it could feel like dread and doom, right? May have something to do with the fact that the people who are perishing, they aren't used to being around people who can smell. Remember we read earlier that the people who have false gods, they have become like those gods, desensitized. So that their god can't smell. It's made of wood or stone or whatever it is. And they can't smell either. And how about the other part? Do we have the smell of a Christ-like, life-giving perfume to those who are being saved? Is that us? It says at the end, so fittingly, who is adequate for such things? Like, which one of us smells like that, you know? That's a big call. To be like a life-giving perfume with one another. When we walk in the room, what do people think? Do they think, something doesn't smell right in here, you know? Or do they think, something smells really good. What's that smell? Remember, we're speaking metaphorically here, but it's such a powerful analogy. These physical smells that we have are just a shadow of the real thing. The real thing, the one with the first nose, the one who made us and fashioned us in his image. So I'll ask you, brethren, do you smell like Jesus Christ? Do you have a Christ-like aroma going up to God? Are your actions and thoughts a sweet savor in God's nostrils? When He smells us, what does He think? Does He think, hey, I know what family he's from, right? Does He think, hey, that smells like my son? Are we doing those things that smell good to Him? Mercy, obedience, prayer, spreading the knowledge of Christ. I encourage you, brethren, as we approach Passover this year, to check your breath. Check your scent. Give yourself the old sniff test, you know? Sometimes it's even appropriate to lean over to your neighbor, who you trust, maybe your wife or a friend, and say, hey, you smell that? Is that me? Just to see if there's anything from your past that you've carried in. Any old boxes of stinky stuff that you've brought in from your past life, your old life. Anything that could be a stench in God's nostrils. We want to throw that stuff out and let Him wash us clean. I encourage you to let God use you, as we just read in Corinthians, to use you to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, so that your life is like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to the nostrils of the Father. So when He looks down and smells that odor that's following you, He says, that smells like my son. That smells like my family. I recognize that scent. So, brethren, what odor are you bringing with you? Do you smell like Jesus?